Earlier this month, people cheered when a plane landed at JFK Airport. While that's not usually cause for celebration, this particular landing may have changed history because when it touched down on the runway, it became the first plane to have completed the 100% solar-powered transcontinental flight. Its pilots were Andre Borschberg, the CEO and co-founder of the project called Solar Impulse, and Bertrand Piccard, the initiator and president. They join us now from their base in Switzerland to talk about their journey and how they plan to take their solar-powered invention around the world in 2015. Hello and welcome to our show.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening to you.
Well, actually, it's the afternoon in New York, but I'm sure it's the evening in Switzerland. Bertrand, haven't many people been thinking about creating solar-powered aircraft? How did you come up with your solution to the problem, Bertrand?
Well, you know, first you need to have the vision. And I think it's quite clear that in the 20th century, exploration was about conquering the planet. And in the 21st century, exploration should be about finding the solutions to have a better life quality and preserve the planet. So a solar-powered airplane flying with no fuel is a beautiful symbol of it.
Well, how long in the making has it been?
Well, that's mainly Andre Borschberg, my partner who was responsible of this, so he will answer.
Okay, Andre.
Yep.
How long have you been working on this idea?
Well, the idea came out when Bertrand did the flight around the world with a balloon. That was in 1999, so 14 years ago. But really starting working on it about 10 years ago when we did the feasibility study. And, you know, interestingly, when we presented to the aviation industry what we had in mind, which was to build an airplane of the size of a 747, but not weighing more than the weight of a car, so it had to be extremely light to be energy efficient, they thought it was impossible. So we had to develop our own team, our own solutions, and find the appropriate technologies.
Now, if I just saw it without knowing that it was a solar-powered plane, would it just look like a traditional airplane to me?
No. You know, it's very long and very thin wings, the wingspan of a jumbo jet, but so light because it's made out of carbon fiber. It has four electrical motors that make absolutely no noise, full of batteries, so the plane can capture the sunlight during the day to also fly during the night. So I think nobody could see that plane without noticing there was something really special. It's like the signature of our project in the sky.
Now, how fast and how high can it fly, Andre?
Well, I think important first is to understand that the first and that the only airplane which has, I mean, almost, you know, unlimited endurance. So it can fly a week. It can fly 2 weeks. So that what makes it very special. So we really work on the duration on the flight and not so much on the speed. So the speed is modest. It's about 50 miles per hour, but it can fly 24 hours a day. It doesn't have to land to refuel. It can almost fly forever.
But I had always heard that you needed to fly a little faster to achieve airlift.
Because it's an airplane that is made for slow flight. You know, if we were flying faster, it would use too much energy and the sunlight would not be enough. So we have to really understand that the first airplanes 100 years ago were also flying very slowly with only one person on board in good weather. And no one could imagine what would happen for the development of aviation. And now we're starting with Solar Impulse, a new cycle in aviation. So it's, again, just one person on board, good weather, slow flight, but with no fuel at all. So completely new clean technologies to be able to make that work.
So one of you at a time, you alternated. The other one traveled on land to the next destination.
Yes, we did, and you have to realize it's an experimental airplane. That's the first we did. It was to demonstrate that we can fly day and night. So we also need a team on the ground to position the airplane and to receive it when it lands. So the other pilot is part of the team, is part of all the support, and is also there to explain, in fact, the meaning of it, because you have to see this as a demonstration about energy efficiency, to be able to fly day and night we really had to develop an airplane which is extremely efficient in the energy consumption. And so the technologies are aimed for that. And these technologies can be used now for any other application with the same spirit, with the same goal, which is to be energy efficient.
Well, is your work a way of showing that this can be done? Because, as you say, your plane has to be very light. Is there a possibility that someday a solar plane will be able to replace the kinds of airplanes that run on fossil fuels?
Well, it would be crazy to say yes and stupid to say no, because the technologies today don't allow it, but it also did not allow the airplane of the Wright brothers and Charles Lindbergh to transport passengers. And nevertheless, aviation made this beautiful evolution in the 20th century. So I think we have to really understand that first we need pioneers to open the way, to show it's possible. And then in the second and third step, then you can have the industry who will take over and see how they can make it better to take more people inside.
Well, maybe we'll have hybrids.
Really, you see, the goal is not to make a revolution in air transport. Our goal is much more to make a revolution in the mindset of the people when they think about energy efficiency and clean technologies and renewable energies.
A New York Times article about the solar impulse joked that solar impulse was limited not by fuel, but by the stamina of the pilot. You were up for, you limited yourselves to 24 hours at a time, right?
Well, that's true. The airplane is fully sustainable in energy, and we have to make the pilot sustainable as well. So this first airplane is, as I said, is very experimental, so it doesn't have any autopilot. And for safety reasons, we said, okay, we will not exceed 24 hours. But we have a second airplane under construction in Switzerland, with which we'd like to do the flight around the world in 2015. Then to cross oceans, we will have to be able to fly many days, many nights, continuously, with only one pilot on board. And that's what we are working on, to be able to fly, of course, with the assistance of an autopilot, with the support of a lot of instruments in the airplane, but to help the pilot to become more sustainable.
So this is kind of like doing a road trip and driving for 24 hours and then stopping. Did you stop at Motel 6s along the way?
No. We stopped at the place of the governors of different states, the Secretary of Energy of the U.S., the United Nations Secretary General, because they all wanted to see that plane. They all wanted to see how these new technologies can also help them to make a cleaner world and also, you know, to create jobs, to grow with the industry, new products that the world needs for to be more energy efficient. So the time on the ground was, I would say, as important as the time in the air.
My guests are André Borschberg and Bertrand Piccard. We're talking about the first 100% solar-powered transcontinental flight across the United States that they both piloted one at a time. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Bertrand, you come from a family that has become kind of famous for its dangerous hobbies. You have in your family the first man to witness the curvature of the Earth in a hot air balloon, the man who set the record for the deepest underwater dive in the Mariana Trench. So is there a danger gene in your family line?
I think it's not a question of looking for danger. It's a question of being an explorer. That means to try things that have never been done and seen before. My grandfather, when he was the first man in the stratosphere, invented the pressurized cabin, which is now used in every spacecraft and every airplane. So it was the beginning of modern aviation. And when my father made the deepest dive in the Mariana Trench together with the American Lieutenant Don Walsh, that was to see if there was life in the deepest trenches in the ocean where some governments wanted to throw the radioactive and toxical waste. And when they saw there was a fish down there, it proved that there was oxygen, that there was life. And that was the moment where the government officially abandoned this dangerous project of dumping the waste in the oceans. So it's always scientific exploration. And of course, it's a little bit dangerous if nobody has done it before because you're the first one and you have to invent the solution yourself. But well, that is what is interesting in exploration.
What were you looking for when you circumnavigated the globe in a hot air balloon?
I would say that it was my personal dream. I also wanted to make a feat that had never been done in the history of aviation. And there were about 10 teams who wanted to be the first one to do it. And actually, when I fulfilled my personal dream, I saw that it allowed me to do something much more useful. That was to initiate the Solar Impulse project, because I had the track record, I had credibility, I had fame, and people trusted me to bring also the funding for Solar Impulse. So, you know, each time it's a step after the other, and that's what is interesting in life. You always try to do more and better.
Andre, one thing that made your landing at JFK seem almost miraculous is that you completed the last leg of the trip with an 8-foot tear in the wing. Was that a serious problem? How were you able to overcome it?
It could have been. When we discovered this, it was just at the beginning of the afternoon, and in fact, by chance, with the helicopter taking pictures, we saw the damage made on the wing. Of course, we didn't know what if it would spread. We didn't know what would happen to the wing itself, so we prepared for the worst, which was to bail out of the Atlantic, and really had to fly the airplane quite slow and without changing the configuration, not using the air brakes. And then when we saw that the damage was not spreading and that we were safe, we decided to proceed for landing at night at Kennedy. And they really organized it in such a way that they made our life easy. That was fantastic.
Your bio says that you practice meditation when you're flying.
I do, yes. I do quite a lot of yoga. And I could practice it also extensively in the United States at a different place where we stopped. I do also meditation, which is a really good way to relax and, you know, try to take distance sometimes with the difficulty, sometimes with the stress, sometimes with the fatigue. So by training this on the ground when I'm fine, when I would say the life is easy, makes it possible to do it when it's more difficult up in the air.
And Bertrand, your bio says that you used your degree in hypnotherapy to complete your trip around the world in a hot air balloon. Did you hypnotize yourself?
Yes, a lot. You know, originally I'm a medical doctor, so I learned hypnosis, and I learned also how important it is to be able to know our inner resources better and use them for the best. So sometimes you need to disconnect the brain from the body to be able to sleep. Sometimes you need to disconnect the body from the brain, so the body can relax, but the brain is still alert and can control all the instruments and react if there's a problem. So all this shows how incredibly powerful the minds and the body of the human being can be to find new resources of adaptation. It's really interesting.
Andre Borschberg is the CEO and co-founder of the Solar Impulse Project, and Bertrand Piccard is the initiator and president of that project. Good luck with your around-the-world trip in 2015. Maybe we'll speak to you after that one is completed. And let's hope that you don't get any tears in the wing this time.
Yeah, it would be a pleasure to talk to you during the flight around the world.
Thank you both.